The Supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about the answer of this question. Why do we remember Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him?
As-salamu alayka ya Sayyida Shuhada. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Today is Monday, 28th of Zulhijjah, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, 26th of Tir, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, 17th of July, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to chapter Al-Fajr. verses 6 to 14.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد
Have you not considered how your Lord dealt with Ad?
إرم ذات العماد
With Iram, who had lofty pillars.
التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد
The likes of whom had never been created in the land.
وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد
And with Thamud, who carved out the rocks in the valley.
وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ
And with Pharaoh, owner of the stakes.
الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ
All of whom oppressed within the lands.
فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ
And increased therein the corruption.
فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ
So your Lord poured upon them a scourge of punishment.
إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ
Indeed, your Lord is in observation.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The following verses contain some meaningful oath about the punishment of the transgressors, of which a few powerful ancient nations are referred to, each of which had great authority in their own right, but were arrogant and went astray. They did not believe and disobeyed Allah, and these verses illustrate their painful destiny to show the pagans of Mecca and other similar nations, who were probably much weaker than them, to understand and their own status and awaken them from their neglectful sleep.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. You guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong and right. Well, that often lies Cause I don't need anyone Anything in life But you No, I don't need anyone To show me my way No, I don't need anyone But you
And the continuation of answering to this nice question, why do we remember Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him? In this episode of today's special, we learn commemorating the nobles and religious leaders and visiting the graves and tomb of the heroes have been a good custom, one that has been practiced by various nations. Among them, the chief of the martyrs and leader of freemen, Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, is like a glamorous son whose name and memory should be revived and remembered befittingly. There are so many sayings from the infallible leaders about the significance of visiting the tomb of Imam al-Hussein, the grave of Imam al-Hussein in Karbala. In fact, it can be said that those noble and divine leaders took advantage of every opportunity to encourage people to visit luminous grave of the chief of martyrs, peace be upon him. It was as though the imams were committed to persuade people to visit and remember Imam al-Hussein in Karbala. Not only did this create spiritual and intellectual union with the imam, but it was also a kind of campaign against the tyrant and the unjust rulers.
if it were not for the sacrifice of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, Islam would not have reached us. At least the Islam of Rasulullah would not have reached us. We would have had the Islam of Muawiyah and Yazid. That's what would have been reigning today, my dear brothers and sisters. So the sacrifice of Abi Abdullah was what kept Islam, our values, our connection with Allah so strong. You find when Amir al-Mu'minin, peace be upon him, was martyred in Kufa, and the news reached the lands of Sham, the lands of Syria, that's Amir al-Mu'minin, the caliph of what is now in the modern day 54 nations. When the news reached the people of Sham that Amir al-Mu'minin was killed in his prayer in Kufa, they were shocked. The people of Dimashq, they were shocked of Syria. But why were they shocked? People began to say, Ali prays? We didn't know that. Really? This guy known as Ali, that our leader Muawiyah hates, he prays? That's shocking. And he was killed in his prayer? Such was the propaganda of Bani Umayyah. So strong that he had brainwashed the people of Syria into thinking that Amir al-Mu'mineen, peace be upon him, the brother of Rasulullah, the son-in-law of Rasulullah, he doesn't even pray. It was that shocking to them. So Imam al-Husayn saw no choice in order for him to combat this falsehood, this injustice that was spreading in the lands of his grandfather Rasulullah. He found no choice other than to sacrifice himself and his family. If it were not for the sacrifices of Abi Abdullah, we would not be here today, my dear brothers and sisters. We would not have the values, the golden values of Islam enshrined in our hearts.
يا حسين 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 يا حسين حسين حسين
Lessons of Muharram
يا حسين 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 يا حسين
And today this lesson from Imam al-Husayn, open to forgive. On the night before Ashura, Imam al-Husayn taught us an invaluable lesson on forgiveness. The commander of the opposition army, Hurra Riyahi, intercepted the caravan of Imam al-Husayn, peace be upon him, forcing them to stop in the land of Karbala. While realizing his mistakes, Hur ran to camp of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, peace be upon him, throwing himself at the Imam's feet, pleading for forgiveness. Imam al-Husayn could easily not have forgiven Hur. After all, it was his doing that left the Imam and his caravan in Karbala. However, he forgave him straight away and assured that the Holy Prophet also has forgiven him. This serves as an important reminder that you should always forgive someone no matter what they have done for you if they are sincere in their apology.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
The ending part of today's special. We end this part with the opinion of the leader of the Islamic Revolution of Iran on the movement of Imam al-Husayn, peace be upon him. Ayatollah Khamenei said, "It is necessary to hold the mourning ceremonies and narrate the events of Ashura. Some people should not adopt a so-called intellectual position and reject the necessity of these mourning ceremonies. These ceremonies are necessary, and they will always be necessary. Of course, some forms of mourning are unacceptable. For instance, Qamizani, a religiously prohibited ritual in which people cut their foreheads, has been declared haram, and it must not be practiced. That is because qamazani or self-flagellation will make the enemies more insolent and will give them an advantage over those who love the members of the Holy Prophet's household. But the common mourning rituals can increasingly strengthen one's emotional connection to the infallible imams. These rituals are very good. سید عباس رضویان.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیک یا ابا عبدالله. We talked about the benefits of Ziyarat Ashura. It is one of the great gifts from Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam to us. When we look at Ziyarat Ashura, one of the lines in the Ziyarat we read, Ya Aba Abdullah, we address Imam Hussein and say, لقد علمت الرزية. Imam Hussein, surely the tribulation is great. What you suffered on the day of Ashura, what happened in Karbala was truly great. It was a true great calamity that happened upon you. It was true bala. وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام. And substantial, great is your tragedy for us and for all the people of Islam. Meaning that the bala of Imam Hussein is not only for him, that it is also great for us. This tragedy is a tragedy that we share. وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات. And substantial great is your tragedy in the heavens upon the dwellers of the heavens. Therefore, the tragedy of Karbala is not only for Imam Hussein, it is for us. And it is also for the dwellers of heaven. They understand more what Imam Hussein alayhi salam went through. When we think about bala and calamity, we realize that the calamity of Imam Hussein is in such a way that we cannot truly grasp what Imam Hussein went through. Only Imam Mahdi, living right now, only the prophets, only their successors can truly see what happened to Imam Hussein.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue speaking about Imam al-Hussein and learn more about his school of thought. Thank you and fi amanillah.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Food for thought.
Salam everybody, and here is what the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, says about hastiness and rashness. One who rushes madly after inordinate desire runs the risk of encountering destruction and death.
Take pieces of bread from me. and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which is simultaneously also a very informative hadith, narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhis salam. And this hadith is about perpetuity in hell and the reason why certain people will remain in hell for eternity. You know, a lot of times people ask or they object and say that it's impossible for a person to remain in hell for all of eternity, perpetually. And it's because this is contrary to God's justice. A person may have sinned for 40 years, he may have sinned for 50 years, for 100 years, for 200 years. In any case, the time and the time period in which he sinned was limited. So why is it that these people, even if they're very evil people, very bad people, why is it that they will remain in hell forever? It doesn't make sense. In this beautiful hadith, the Imam, alayhi salam, he addresses this question and he answers it in a very logical and in a very rational manner. The Imam says, "The people of the fire will be kept permanently in the fire because their intentions in the world were such that if they were to live forever therein, they would disobey Allah forever." Meaning these people in this world, they loved to sin, and they had no intention of ever stopping sinning, and if they were given the chance to live in this world forever, they would always sin, right? So keeping in mind the intention of these individuals, right? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Actions are assessed, the value of an action and its weight, regardless of whether the action is good or bad, it's always assessed based on the intention of the person. So here, because the intention of these people was that if they remained in this world forever, they would continue sinning, God Almighty, He recompenses them with خُلُود فِي النَّارِ, right, with remaining forever in hell. In continuation, the Imam says, "And verily the people of paradise will also be made to remain in paradise permanently because their intentions in this world were to obey Allah, if only they were to live there forever. So it is due to their intentions that these and those have their permanent residence. So God Almighty, also the people who were good, good people, you know, they always, they had the intention to always be good. And they said, you know, in the back of their minds, it was, you know, there's something, it was in the back of their minds, they believed that if, or they wished that if they could live forever, they would always be good people. They would always worship Allah and obey Allah, listen to His ordinances and so on and so forth. Following this, the Imam, alayhi salam, he said the following. He recited the word of Allah, the Exalted. Say, everyone acts according to his character. قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ and said that it means according to his intention. Meaning everybody acts according to his intention. Meaning the action of this person is actually has an affinity with his intention. And because the intention was to sin, you know, for all of eternity, that action also, being similar to it, is almost like it is a sin which lasted for all of eternity, and consequently, the recompense or the punishment given to the person will be eternal and perpetual. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reason for perpetuity in hell, in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are with brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider. Everyone is fine?
Yes, sir.
All right, Hussein is fine. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir.
All right, and Hassan?
Fine, sir.
So everyone is fine, alhamdulillah, here. So brothers and sisters, we hope you are fine and happy, inshallah. Inshallah, today we will continue our previous discussions. We were talking about Ayah 79 in the previous session, and today we'll talk about Ayah 80 of Surah An-Nisa on page
91.
So, brothers and sisters, open your Quran, please. Turn to page 91, Ayah 80, and let's first and foremost, everyone, listen to the recitation, then we'll get back.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله ومن تولى فما أرسلناك عليهم حفيظا.
That was nice recitation, Ali Nasir. How was it? Did you like it? Yeah, that was a nice recitation. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, come on, tell me. Was it good or no?
Yes.
Okay. So, Fawad, how about you? You enjoyed it? Huh?
Yes, it was good.
It was. Hassan?
Yes.
Yeah? And Hussein?
Yes.
All right. Okay, brothers and sisters, if you like the recitation, don't worry, okay? Just stay with us till the end of the session. Inshallah, we'll practice. First, you need to really master the tajweed rules, okay? Then the beautiful recitation must be done with tajweed rules. So if somebody does not know the tajweed rules, he can't recite correctly, okay? So he has, if he wants, he should learn the tajweed rules. We are going to have that at the end of our session, okay? First, we'll mention some points about this ayah, and then we'll move on to the tajweed rules and the recitation. All right, Ali Nasir?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good news for you, brothers and sisters. So, Allah Almighty says in this ayah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I'll read it without tajweed, okay? And then, inshallah, we'll practice the tajweed rules. Man yuti'ir rasula faqad ata'allah. Allah Almighty says, whoever obeys the apostle or the prophet, okay, this is equal to what?
Obeying.
Certainly me. Obeys, he obeys
Allah.
Allah Almighty. So, man yuti'ir rasula, whoever obeys the apostle, certainly obeys Allah. Okay. وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى, and as for those who turn their backs on you, O Prophet, it means they do not obey you, O Prophet. فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا, we have not sent you to keep watch over them. I mean, the message of this ayah is this, that the first point, whoever obeys Allah, obeys
his apostle,
should obey
his apostle.
Okay? And whoever obeys the Prophet, it means he is obeying Allah Almighty. Prophet is the messenger of Allah. In the previous sessions, we talked a lot about this point, yes?
Yes.
So sometimes, now, look, listen, okay? It doesn't mean that you only obey the Prophet. The Imams, after the Prophet. Because in Usul al-Din, we have Tawheed, Adala,
Nabuwa,
Imama, right after the prophets, we have 12 imams. So if you follow, if you obey the 12 imams, it is equal to obedience to the prophet. And it is equal to obedience to
Allah.
Allah Almighty. Okay? Kullun nurun wahid. All of them are like one light. Okay? All right?
Yes.
One light. So it means imams are the the leaders after the Prophet, you have to follow them, you have to listen to them, you have to obey them. Okay? Don't think, look, oh, he's the Imam, he's not the Prophet, so I don't want to follow him. No. Following the Prophet, okay, needs you to follow the Imams as well. If you are a person, a follower of the Prophet, you must be a follower of the Imam as well. Because Allah Almighty chose the Prophet, and Allah Almighty commanded our Prophet to choose the Imam. يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك. Okay, you have to deliver the message that Allah Almighty has given to you. If you don't, وإن لم تفعل, if you don't do this, فما بلغت رسالته. Your رسالة, your نبوة is zero. You've not done your رسالة. Look, this is a command of Allah Almighty. That's why the Prophet gathered all the Muslims in the Ghadir pond and announced the leadership of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is a divine leadership. So, following, if you want to be obedient to Allah Almighty, you should follow the prophets and also the imams. That's the first important message. And the second one, sometimes, for example, we have Amr bil Ma'ruf, we have Nahi anil Munkar in Furu'uddin, right?
Yes.
So, if you are able to guide someone and he's accepting, he's somebody who is so accepting, he accepts your words, okay? This is very good. Guide them, help them. If they are like a bit stubborn, okay, strict, so guide them, find a way to guide them. If they didn't, if they continued, okay, like ignoring you, okay? It's okay, try your best. But you are not responsible of him. That you must, at any price, for example, at any cost, okay, you're not responsible for him to guide him. You do your job. If it didn't, you didn't get any answer, you've done it. Okay? It's okay.
Is there still reward if you tried?
Oh, yeah, you get your reward. You get your reward, okay? Understood?
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, please refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for more details, because there are a lot of good discussions on obedience of Allah Almighty, how we can prove that obedience of Allah Almighty is equal to obedience of Prophet and these things, okay? Refer. Let's mention some important tajweed rules and that will be all, okay? Brothers and sisters, I hope you're not tired. So we'll move on to the tajweed rules and the recitation. The first tajweed rule. من يطيع الرسول
إدغام
من يطيع الرسول. من changes to may. It is called idgham or merging. May yuti'i al-rasul, okay? And also, when you merge the sound, you extend the sound as well. For how many counts?
Two
counts. And there is one more thing happened here.
Nasal sound.
May, this nasal sound. Sound comes from your nose. May yuti'i al-rasul. In Tajweed, we call this Ghunna. Ghunna. Say this Ghunna. Ghunna.
Yes.
من يطيع الرسول فقد فقد قا is a heavy letter and then dal, like which is a ساكن letter here, is applied with an echoing sound, like Fawad said. قلقله. فقد أطاع الله. Ta is a heavy letter. Allah. Allah is pronounced heavily here because there is a fatha sound before. So, listen and repeat after me. Okay?
Yes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله
من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله
أحسن. Salah tells you that you can stop here or continue, but Hassan, is it better to stop or better to continue?
Better to continue.
Okay, next time we'll continue this, okay? We'll join this part with the next part. Now, وَمَنْ تَوَلَّ نُنْ سَاكِنْ plus تَ
تَ is from the rest of the letters. So, إِخْفَى.
إِخْفَى, you hide the sound. Hide the sound of نُنْ سَاكِنْ. وَمَنْ changes to?
وَمَنْ.
وَمَنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ. You hide the sound a bit, okay? When you pronounce the نُنْ, your tongue comes and touches the back of your teeth. وَمَنْ.
Yes.
So don't let your tongue touch it if you want to pronounce the ikhfa sound. وَمَنْ. Do not let it touch. Just when it goes and wants to touch, do not let it touch. وَمَنْ. Stop here. Look at my hand. This is noon. This is, for example, your tongue, okay? This is the gam area. وَمَنْ. Do not let it touch. This is the correct way of pronouncing the ikhfa sound. وَمَنْ. تولى, right?
Yes.
وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا. The mad is not wajib. You can stretch it or skip it. أَرْسَلْنَاكَ أَرْسَلْنَاكَ أَرْ. Heavy sound.
را is heavy
here. All right. أَرْسَلْنَا. Light sound. عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. حَفِيظًا changes to?
حَفِيظًا.
حَفِيظًا. Make sure you pronounce ظ correctly. ح correctly. Next letters. Ha correctly, Ayn correctly, Wow correctly, Ta correctly. These letters are important. So, listen to the next part. وَمَنْ تَوَلَّ فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا.
ومن تولى فما أرسلناك عليهم حفيظا.
MashaAllah. Now Hassan said that Sila tells us that it's better to continue. So it means it's better to join the two parts. Okay, the first part of the ayah with the second part. Let's join it together. Okay, Hassan?
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
Let's go.
مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Ahsantum. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. We hope inshallah this session was useful for you. Ali Nasir, Fawad, Hassan and Hussein, thank you so much. Thanks a bundle. Inshallah, Allah bless you, inshallah. Thanks for being with us. Allah Almighty bless you all. See you in the next session. Thanks to Arab English Radio and Sevilla International Schools Network. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
The ocean of dua.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajil fa.
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing the different constituents of supplication and dua. The third constituent is the Almighty Allah, the one we ask a favor from, We said that in the very first place, we have to recognize the Almighty Allah. And knowing God has different effects on the believers who actually take part in supplication. There is one tradition narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, mentioned in Uddatul Da'i, from his fathers that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Allah the Almighty revealed to one of his prophets concerning his guardians, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَأَقْتَعَنَّ أَمَلَ كُلِّ آمِلٍ أَمَلَ غَيْرِي بِالْيَأْسِ. I swear by my magnanimity and honor that I will cut the desire and wish of anyone who relies on other than me, and I will deprive him of my favors. وَلَأُبْعِدَنَّهُ مِنْ فَرَجِي وَفَضْلِي. Does my servant rely on other than me during afflictions, whereas the afflictions are in my hands? أَيَأْمُلُ عَبْدِي فِي الشَّدَائِدِ غَيْرِي وَالشَّدَائِدُ بِيَدِي وَيَرْجُو سِوَايِ وَأَنَا الْغَنِيُّ الْجَوَادِ بِيَدِي مَفَاتِيحُ الْأَبْوَابِ. Does he expect other than me while I am the self-sufficient, the praised? I have the keys of the gates which are closed. بِيَدِي مَفَاتِيحُ الْأَبْوَابِ وَهِيَ مُغْلَقَةِ وَبَابِي مَفْتُوحٌ لِمَنْ دَعَانِي. Whereas my gate is open to everyone who calls upon me. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah the Almighty says, مَا مِن مَخْلُوقٍ يَعْتَسِمُ بِمَخْلُوقٍ دُونِي إِلَّا قَطَعْتُ أَسْبَابَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَأَسْبَابَ الْأَرْضِ مِن دُونِهِ. If a creature resorts to another creature instead of me, I will deprive him of the means of the heavens and the earth. If he asks me for something, فَإِن سَأَلَنِي لَمْ أُعْتِهِ, I will not give him, and if he invokes me, وَإِن دَعَانِي لَمْ أُجِبْهِ, I will not respond to him. وَمَا مِن مَخْلُوقٍ يَعْتَسِمُ بِي دُونَ خَلْقِي. But if a creature resorts to me rather than any of my creatures, the heavens and the earth will ensure his livelihood. If he calls upon me, I will respond to him. فَإِن دَعَانِي أَجَبْتُهُ وَإِن سَأَلَنِي أَعْطَيْتُهُ. And if he asks me for anything, I will definitely grant him. وَإِن إِسْتَغْفَرَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَهُ. And if he asks me to forgive him, I will forgive him.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ob onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ob kamju tishnagi ovar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad obaz balova as. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the merciful God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
In Tafsir al-Mizan, brothers and sisters, mentioning two different traditions which talk about the depriving ones, the ones who resort to other creatures than Almighty Allah, we read, what we understand from these traditions is that supplication should be uttered sincerely. Supplication should not negate the great cause behind all causes. This is because everybody knows that there are causes and effects in this world, but the great cause, the absolute cause, is behind them all. These causes are not independent of the great cause, however. So it means that we should add the fact that man, through his inner nature, knows that for his wants there is a giver, whose actions are under his control, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is all aware. He is the absolute cause. So the servant should not resort to anyone other than him. So man recognizes naturally that origin in which all the control rests and the pillar on which he depends to satisfy his desires. These are some things different from these superficial means. It is compulsory for man not to depend entirely on these means alone and not to forget the existence of the absolute cause. This is the point in supplication. This is the point that man has to realize regarding this third constituent, which is the Almighty Allah. Man, with the slightest attention, will comprehend this issue. If he asks for something and his needs are satisfied, he will find out that his asking is really addressed to God. Here, the cause is the Almighty Allah. Now, suppose he asked the same thing from some other cause. He should know that this cause cannot actually satisfy his needs. In this case, a wrong assumption has made him assume the wrong giver as the real one, as the real giver. So he has turned to someone else other than the Almighty Allah, other than someone who can satisfy his needs. In this case, we see that man's inner nature is different from his apparent one. So this is the point we need to understand. The kind of the Almighty Allah that will assure us. And as he says, the heavens and the earth will ensure the livelihood of the person who only resorts to him other than the creatures, other than the things and the creatures he is the absolute cause for. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way. Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah هو ذا الرحمن.
Allah
هو ذا المنان.
لا إله إلا.
Please send us your emails to our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Shaykh Rouhani is the guest speaker for today's discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, for today's discussion, we want to talk about an interesting topic, and that is hairs. So, hairs in Arabic literally means a fortified and firm place. But nowadays, in the lives of the Muslims, especially the Shia ones, these are some Quranic verses, zikrs or revocations narrated and supplications recited in order to protect one's life and property against damages or are carried in written forms. For example, in a form of necklace, in a form of armband or something like that. These are called, we can say, hairs. In English now. And hairs of Imam al-Jawad is a very much famous poem. Before getting to hairs of Imam al-Jawad, what is the content and what is the use of that? Let's talk a little bit about hairs itself. What is hairs?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hairs, as you rightly mentioned, in the past, for the cities, there was a wall around the city which protected the cities from the attacks of the enemies.
Yes.
It was like a hearse.
Yes.
Because it protected the people.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Protecting the people, protecting the inhabitant of the cities. So hearse, when it comes to hearse of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, which we have from the Holy Prophet, from Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, from Amir al-Mu'mineen, we have different ahraz or hearses that are narrated, but one of them is very famous, which is the hairs of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is a kind of special dua, a specific dua, because we believe that A'imma alayhi salatu wasalam had a kind of divine knowledge,
mm-hmm.
because their knowledge was not the normal knowledge
that
we achieve, for example, by going to university, Islamic, for example, seminaries, houses, these and that things. We have teachers, for example, who acquire our knowledge through this kind of means.
Yes.
But when it comes to A'imma alayhi salatu wasalam, their knowledge was a specific sort of knowledge, a unique kind of knowledge. Based on this kind of knowledge, sometimes we have some very nice narrations, ahadiths from A'imma alayhi salatu wasalam, in which A'imma says that if you read, for example, if you have this, for example, text of the hairs, you will be protected against different things.
Yes.
So
especially the damages, you know,
exactly,
the people and the damages and the ill will of the people or ill intentions of the people, you know.
Yes, of course. And it is also based on the experiences of the people, you know, throughout the history of Islam. People experienced making use of these hairs. And even some of the Wahhabis who are against these kind of du'as or hairs, but when it comes to hairs, Imam Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam, they allow the people to use it because it is experienced.
Yes.
So the text of the this hairs is of two types. One is long and one is very short.
Yes.
Let me just read this short version of these hairs,
okay,
which it says, yeah,